Hey folks, if you've been tuning in over the last couple of months, you've heard all about the Game Time app and how it can save you some serious cash on last-minute tickets to sports, to concerts, all types of shows. Everything you want, you can find through the Game Time app. My favorite part about it is how quickly you can buy tickets. It's just two taps. Tap, tap, all of a sudden you've got tickets. You don't have to go through all the verification code and, oh, now I got to make sure my credit card's input and all that stuff. No, you want to go to a game, you want to go to a show, two taps, you're in, easy checkout. It's such an easy way to make sure you get the most bang for your buck. And speaking of bucks, Game Time is hooking you up for the holidays with $10 credit. Here's what to do. You download the Game Time app in the Google Play or the App Store. You click on the My Ticket section of the app. You create an account. Then under the billing section, redeem code THEATHLETIC. Once again, that's THEATHLETIC, all one word, for $10 off your first purchase. That's free money, everybody. Credit is only available to the first 1,000 people who redeem the code, and it expires at the end of the year. That's December 31st, 2019. So you got a couple weeks left. So make moves and score last-minute tickets. Welcome to Hoops and Howls, your Minnesota Timberwolves podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. Special guest today, you may have heard of him. They call him Johnny Athletic. John Krasinski, the T-Wolves writer. Oh, we're not supposed to say T-Wolves anymore, right? They hate that.
I think you could say Wolves writer. You could splash it in every once in a while.
I do. You know what? I say we say T-Wolves and then we say T-Blazers.
Let's do it.
Let's do Why not?
I mean, we have the power. This is our podcast.
Exactly.
We can say what we want.
I mean, we howl at the end of this thing. We can do whatever we want.
So, they don't pay us to, you know, it's like calling it the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. We don't have to call it that.
No.
We can just call it the Fiesta Bowl.
Right. We can call it the Tostitos Bowl for all we want.
Yeah.
Right?
They're not paying us.
Exactly.
Yeah, we do what we want here.
Yeah. This is your Minnesota Timbers podcast. How about that? We'll just drop the Wolves.
Timber W's?
Timber W's? Because let me tell you, John, this thing is a fallen, much like a tree. This thing, Timberwolves team has, it was a feel-good story the first month, and that scouting report is out, and that defense is really historically bad right now during this stretch, and things have not gone well as of late. So let me ask you, because you see this team up close constantly, right? I saw them up close in that loss to the Lakers a couple of weeks ago, and what I took away from that was they just seem slow, and you can say that's a Lakers or that's a Los Angeles nightlife kind of residue on that game, but they look slow. Robert Covington looked slow. They didn't seem to be cohesive as a unit. It just looked a lot different than what we had seen. So is that the Lakers are that good? Is it the Wolves are falling apart that much? Like, what's been your take on this 7-game losing streak?
Yeah, you know, I think first and foremost, I do think the Lakers are that good, and they've kind of proven that. You know, when you drew up the schedule at the start of the year, and you're looking at W's and L's for the Wolves, regardless of how well they were playing at the start of the season, you're saying, oh, when they go to LA and face LeBron and AD playing like this, they're going to lose. But at the same time, they're not as connected as they were, especially defensively. They were getting beat down the court all the time in that game, and really had a hard time adjusting to it. And so I think what you've seen over these last 7 games that they have lost heading into the game Wednesday night against New Orleans is that I think at the start of the season, they sort of caught the NBA off guard a little bit. You know, hey, they come out, they're shooting threes, a team that is, you know, always like in the bottom 2 or 3 in 3-point attempts is now in the top 5 in 3-point attempts. They're trying to play at a faster pace. They're moving the ball. They have a bunch of new faces. They're doing things differently defensively. It was, I think, a bit of a shock to the system for the rest of the NBA. They kind of look at us, same old Wolves. They're not all that good. You know, we can just kind of take them without much effort. And then, you know, the Wolves start 7-4, and it's like, oh, well, we actually have to put an effort in to beat these guys a little bit. Let's actually look at the tape and what they're doing and how do we neutralize
right.
what's happening. And I think that's, just the secret's out now. Like, people know what the Wolves want to do. They know they want to get Cat super involved. And so they're trying to, opposing teams are trying to take him away. And they know how they're guarding the perimeter and guarding the paint and how to attack and expose their weaknesses. And so since that, they have caught up, the Wolves have had a hard time kind of adjusting to those adjustments. And, they're regressing to the mean a little bit. We thought this team was probably 35, 36 wins at the start of the year. And, now they're back more closer to that pace than they were, at the start of the season when they were on track for like 44 or 45.
Yeah, and I think on top of that, right, like we're getting into a game tonight, and I'm pretty sure this is going to post before the game against New Orleans, but like that team has really struggled, right? A franchise record, 13 straight losses. Some of those have been very close. Like they're horrendous at closing out games offensively. Like they can't make shots. And so what's the cure for that, John? It's a bad defense, and the Wolves are a bad defense right now. And so I would almost say like, Wednesday's game against the Pelicans, it sounds a little stupid, but like that's a must win. That could be a real morale breaker. Like that could be Trae Young calling the loss to the Knicks a season low point, and then you start getting some whispers about, hey, maybe Lloyd Pierce's seat is getting a little hot in Atlanta, right? Like I don't think it means like we're gonna start saying, oh, maybe Ryan Saunders is on the hot seat. It's not gonna get to that point, but just in terms of team morale, this is a better Pelicans team than their record would suggest, but you still like they're reeling in such a way you have to win this game.
You have to win this game. They can say, the Wolves can say all they want about, hey, this is a process and we understand that we're just laying the foundation here and this is going to take time and all of that. But every once in a while, you just need a win in the season just to kind of take the tension away. And the Wolves are at that point right now. They have not played well at home all year. I think they're 3-9 at home. And I think they've lost 8 in a row at home. So they're not playing well. There's nobody that's coming to these games. And if they were to lose to the Pelicans, a team that is playing awful, that only reinforces in the fans' minds that there's no reason to pay attention to these guys. And, and it's just going to continue that narrative, even if underneath it, they're doing some good things that may eventually bear fruit. Right now, it's in a bad way, and they absolutely need a win. Karl-Anthony Towns is questionable for tonight with a knee injury, and he may not play. So that would obviously, change things a little bit. But even if he doesn't play, I still think they just need a win, man. They're getting to be a little bit desperate right now, and they need to kind of let the tension out a little bit.
All right. So if you're the Wolves, December 15th has passed. And so that means it's trade season between now and the deadline, right? And so if you're trade season, everyone loves trades, right? We love the transactions. Part of the reason ratings are down is because the Wolves stopped winning and, trade season came. We care too much about the transaction. But the next like couple months for the Wolves are actually really interesting in regards to the trade deadline. And so if you're the Timber W's, John, is there an imminent deal on the table? Because your best options right now, or I would say your most likely options, are moving Jeff Teague, who's on an expiring deal, right? Maybe considering moving Robert Covington, who will be highly sought after if he becomes if he's made available on the trade market because he has such a great contract and he's just a fantastic fill in the gaps role player, right? So what is the possibility and the likelihood of the Wolves making a deal in the next 2 months?
Yeah, it's they're in a very interesting spot here because yes, they've lost 7 in a row, but guess what? The West is so bad at the bottom, they're a game out of the 8 seed right now.
Right.
So like, you take all that into account and you think, gosh, why not, go out there and try and make a deal and see if you can get up into the playoff picture and how much of a difference that would make for Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders to make the playoffs in the first year, whether LeBron sweeps them out of it or not, that would be big progress. So here's kind of my read on the situation and talking to, my Wolf sources and really talking to sources around the league. One, Gerson Rosas comes from the Houston tree, so he's very aggressive by nature. He wants to make trades. He is calling teams ad nauseum and trying to see if there's anything to be explored. He's called every team in the league multiple times, trying to see if there's any dance partners that he can find for deals. That said, I do think that the greater commitment that this organization has right now is to building sustainability over the next 2 to 3 to 4 years, rather than like maximizing what they can do to win right now. You know, that's why they're playing Jeff Teague off the bench and Culver and Wiggins in the starting backcourt. That's why, you know, they're trying to maximize their young guys and develop them a little bit more instead of trying to squeeze, you know, every little drop of blood from the turnip and just get a win for a win's sake. So I think that they will try very hard to make deals that help them without sacrificing any long-term flexibility. Jeff Teague, I think they really do want to trade. I think that they would be happy to trade him today if they could get a decent deal for him. And, you know, Covington is the one who is going to get more offers. I think they're less like enthusiastic about making that trade, but also they're realistic and say, you know, hey, if we get a Godfather type offer, if we get one that's just too good to pass up, they'll do that. So all that is to say that I think Gerson Rosas's nature is to try to make trades to see what they can do.
Yeah.
But you look at the league itself, and John Hollinger wrote this at The Athletic, I think, last week. With all of the teams that are in the playoff hunts right now in both conferences, there's not a lot of teams right now who are declaring themselves either buyers or sellers. And so it's hard to kind of get that traffic moving forward a little bit and get some calls returned and some substantive conversations going.
Yeah, that's a great point by both Johns, Hollinger and Johnny Athletic, right? That's a great point, because that really does make things murky, because there are teams that probably didn't think they would be in the mix, and now they're saying, maybe we're a move away. Or if we're a move away, is that sacrificing the future too much? If, you know, depending on what you have to give up and what you're trying to get. And so, like, I don't expect any kind of moves to be imminent for around the league anyway, right? Like, even the guys that are supposed to be on the move. Yeah, that one, that takes time. And two, there's no real incentive to give your best offer now while you're still trying to figure out what you are. So if you're the Wolves, yeah, a Jeff Teague move is super easy to make, right? Like, that's a really easy decision. One, it looks like there's some, like, I don't think there's chemistry issues necessarily where they hate each other, but there is a disconnect between Carl and Jeff Teague on these post-entry passes, right? Or just giving him the ball in general. Like, Carl wants the ball. I think you know this better than I would, but outside looking in, Carl looks like he's a little frustrated because the league is defending him a little more aggressively on the perimeter. He's not getting the ball nearly as much as I think he would like to, and I think a lot of that frustration is coming into Teague when Teague is in the game, because Teague is the point guard and it's get him the ball, right? And so I do think that all of these elements make it a lot easier to move Teague, just because he's also not a long-term guy for them.
Right, yeah, he's an expiring contract, and everyone pretty much knows that his future is not here. And he's also, it just doesn't fit with the system that they want to run. He is much kind of, he likes the ball in his hands, he likes to dribble, he likes to probe. He likes to kind of drive and kick and those things. And that's not really what the Wolves offense is built around. The other part of it, as you alluded to, was the way that opposing defenses are attacking the Timberwolves right now, essentially, is to try and limit Carl's touches as much as possible and make everyone else beat them. Now, what the Wolves need is an elite passing vision instincts point guard who can throw the ball into a tight window and still get Towns the ball when he is being aggressively guarded. And that is not Jeff Teague's strength.
Right.
He can't, you know, he just can't do that.
He's almost overly measured in how he attacks, right? Because correct. You'll even hear Jim Peterson talking about this on the broadcast of, like, you know, mentioning they need Teague to take that shot here, right? They need mm-hmm. Teague to attack in this situation. And he's, I don't think it's a timid thing. I think it's more of a he's just too measured in how he does things. He's almost overthinking it. And I don't think it's him being timid. I think it's him just thinking too much.
Right. And so you have that element, and then you have Andrew Wiggins, who is, you know, essentially the starting point guard on this roster. And look, he's made really big strides as a ball handler and a playmaker this year. I think it's been a real surprise to see him gravitate to that role. That said, he is still in the elementary stages of that role. And he is like a quarterback who can make the first read. And if that guy is open, he can make a strong throw and keep moving the chains. But he's not a guy who under duress when the pocket is breaking down, roll to his right and then look to his second or third read and throw it into a tight window with coverage draped all over him. He just can't do that yet. And that's what Towns needs. And so he's having just real difficulties as a big man, even as gifted as he is offensively, of getting the ball in the right positions where he can do damage. And so there are too many times during a game where he goes 4 or 5 minutes without either touching the ball or without getting a good shot. And for a player who is like head and shoulders above from an efficiency standpoint of anybody else on the roster, that just doesn't work. And so, yeah, again, they would move Teague if they could, for someone more capable of doing that. But you also have to ask yourself, if you're the Timberwolves and you've decided you would trade Teague, do you move him like right now, or do you wait for a little while? What if the Clippers, what if Pat Beverly's injuries return and he is out for a long stretch? What if the Mavericks are struggling and need another playmaker? What if, you know, any of these teams that really, you know, get into an injury situation or something else that where they really need a point guard, would you be able to recoup more?
Yeah, let's say Eric Bledsoe. Let's say Eric Bledsoe and George Hill get hurt, right? And now the Bucks need a point guard, and they don't want to throw Giannis in that full time playmaker. I mean, it's just little things like that where it's worth noting, like, that's a big number to match. 19.
It's a huge number.
It's a big number to match. So it's not easy. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, if you have to get to 19 million, that's not easy to do. If you're a team that, even if you're a team that wants to trade for him, how do you aggregate enough salary to put that into perspective? That's where it makes Covington much more gettable, and much more tradable, though they probably would much rather keep him if it all worked out the same.
Well, so then, John, if you need a guy who can make plays for others,
there's
a guy in Golden State, a guy who played in San Francisco, the old Chase Center, the old Robin to Alec Burks Batman, D'Angelo Russell. That old D'Angelo Russell card could maybe get played again. Now, I personally don't think a move gets made until the summer with D'Angelo Russell. But if the Wolves want to get aggressive and the Warriors are already punting on the season, because of course they are at this point, right? Maybe Robert Covington becomes available in that move.
Sure. Yep. That's entirely possible. And again, you know, now with Russell making a max deal.
It's tricky because they're hard capped, right? Tricky. The Warriors are hard capped. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So that makes that tricky. Also, you know, you look at the Warriors and this summer coming up, there's not a lot of great free agents, right? So there's going to be talent hungry teams out there who miss out on whatever free agents they go after and want to make a move. And then maybe that would increase the asking price for D'Angelo Russell. And so it would seem to behoove the Warriors to hold on to him.
Right.
The other part, Zach, is they can hold on to him and they're still going to lose a bunch of games. Like, it's not like he is sacrificing lottery position if you keep him on the roster, because they're losing plenty of games with him on there. And that, to me, is, you know, part of the evaluation of Russell as max player as well. There are people in the league that you talk to who say, that is not a max player. You do not want to be having D'Angelo Russell as your 1A or 1B on your team. You need him as like your 3. And so the Timberwolves, Anthony Slater wrote a great D'Angelo Russell profile last week. And in it reported that the Wolves and Russell essentially had terms of like a 5-year or $107 million deal, which is not the max. It's below the max. That's where they felt comfortable going. And I think from talking to people that I know, I think that they felt comfortable that D'Angelo would say yes to that until the Warriors came in and splashed the pot at max. Now you evaluate him a little bit differently too. I mean,
sure.
it's a different thing to bring on if he's a $22 million player or a $29 million player. And so you have all of that to factor in as well. I think they will absolutely call on D'Angelo Russell. I think they will see if there's anything to be done. But yeah, I don't get the sense that there's going to be any sort of D'Angelo Russell introductory press conference in Minnesota anytime this season. That would surprise me.
We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and you're going to perform at your best. He says getting good sleep and finding the time to rest is one of the most valuable things he does for his body and mind. And you can join for a limited time. Our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/howls. That's calm.com/howls. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/howls. That's calm.com/howls.
All right, so then let's play the old Andrew Wiggins game, right? It's fantastic season. Maybe he's the most improved player. Like, I don't know how he's in the running for most improved, right? Which is weird to say about
in the
guy,
conversation.
Yeah, yeah, a guy making $147 million, but that's been the kind of career it is for Wig. And so, look, I think the idea has been we will put him in positions to succeed. If he embraces those positions, we either have a player that we want to keep for that money long term, or more realistically, we can move on from that player, right? We can up his trade value, and we can find better ways to allocate that money down the road. And so I don't know, like, that again, that's if they decide to move on. I've always been under the understanding from people relatively close to the situation that that's a move that happens in the summer. You build him up for a year. That's what happens in the summer. You see what happens, or maybe even two summers from now when that big free agency class and all that cap space is available, right? But if there is any kind of a demand for Andrew Wiggins, how seriously do the Wolves, you know, explore that trade possibility while still trying to figure out if they're maximizing what he is?
Yeah, I think so. Right now, what they have to make, the decision that they have to make in the short term is, do they believe that the improvement that Andrew Wiggins has shown this year is sustainable and able to be even improved upon further going forward? Or do they think, hey, we caught lightning in the bottle for 6-7 weeks here, and he is starting to repair some of his value, but there's a ceiling on this that he's going to hit pretty quickly? And do you try and not sell high, but sell higher than absolute rock bottom, which is where he was at coming into this season? And that's the decision they have to make. So far internally, most of the discussion has been that they are very encouraged by Andrew Wiggins' improvement, that they think he can get even better going forward the more time he spends in this new system. They like having Covington at the four and Cat at the five because there's no one clogging the paint, so he can drive to the basket and has a lot more room to work that way. So they believe that, you know, that there's more to come from Wiggins on this. That said, I do believe that if they got an offer that they really liked, I think there'd be strong consideration of it. I think really the only untouchable player on this roster right now is Karl Anthony Towns. And so,
yeah, which is how it should be, right?
Like, which that's, is how it should yeah. be. Yes. Yes. But yeah, so like right now, again, I don't think that there's a ton of market for Wiggins right now yet. I still think that there are a lot of teams that are looking to see, all right, show us how you do over 3-4 months before we start to even entertain the idea of bringing on a max guy. But Yeah, I mean, I think that eventually they could be forced to make that decision if some team comes to them and says, hey, we like what we see from Wiggins. We don't think he's a great fit with Towns. Let's give you some salary cap relief and some assets going forward, and we'll take him off your hands. There will be some consideration of that if that scenario ends up happening.
So with that situation, I do think it's more likely that, you know, Covington's on the move, or obviously Teague's on the move,
yes,
than Wiggins, or even bringing in D'Angelo Russell. But at what point, like, what level of player do you think it would take? And granted, this is probably more of a summer question than a pre-trade deadline question, in which, like, someone like Jarrett Culver gets involved, or like Josh Okogie gets involved, in which, yeah, they're saying, all right, we have this young asset that we believe in, because I think they believe in both those guys a lot, right?
Yes.
But to sweeten the pot, like, if you're giving up Covington and then, like, you're throwing in Jarrett Culver into the deal, would they make a big swing like that in season? Obviously, it matters who's coming back in that trade, but let's just say they got a guy that they believe, like, yo, this guy, yeah, plus Cat, like, this is our future. Like, this is what we have to do. Do you think that's something they evaluate in the, such a quick time span, or is that something they take the long view with?
I mean, right now they're preaching long view with Jarrett Culver, and of course you have to, right? Because he's been underwhelming to this point, but they do believe that he is over the long term going to be a very good player in this league, and nothing that they've seen to this point has diminished that optimism. Even guys in the organization who, you know, are frustrated or like kind of getting impatient in terms of with Culver shooting and things like that, they still readily admit, like, look, this guy works his ass off and he's a, you know, great makeup. He has a lot of skills. He just needs to kind of channel that in the right direction and he'll be fine. So there remains a lot of long-term belief in Culver, and I would say the same thing about Okogie. That said, you know, so what would it take to pull those out is your question.
Yeah.
And I think you could pry them away from the Wolves. I think it would have to be something that's like an ideal fit.
Like, are we
Towns.
Talking better than D'Angelo Russell?
Probably, or yes, I would like
that's
Holiday.
The baseline, right? Like, yeah, like maybe a Drew Holiday, maybe that's the
like
guy,
Drew
right?
Holiday, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know,
right. Yeah.
Like somebody like now, are either of those guys going to be going anywhere? No, but like it maybe Drew, but like,
yeah.
That's the kind of player they want, a younger, you know, Holiday isn't super young, but they want someone that really fits with Towns and that can grow with Towns over the next 3, 4, 5 years. So if you have a player like that and you can offer that, I do think that that would make the Wolves at least willing to listen or contemplate,
yeah,
parting with some of those younger assets that do have value.
Now with Gerson, I do believe, like, I think he's going to be aggressive, right? Like, I don't think that,
yeah,
necessarily means they make a deal, but aggressive in finding deals, because he does come from that Daryl Morey pedigree, right? And that we came, mm-hmm, from that Boston Celtics pedigree of, like, you know, you are aggressive when it comes to trades. And I think we saw that this summer with the signings and with the, you know, the Napier trade and everything. And so I wonder, like, the odds of a trade just happening, period, that's maybe even just on a much smaller level, maybe becoming a third team in a deal. I know there's some cap issues and luxury tax issues with everything, but becoming a, you know, a third team that gets attached to a deal to try to pick some assets. Do you expect that to happen? Because I kind of expect that to happen, even if it's a smaller deal.
Yeah, I do. I think I would be surprised if, what, it's February 6th or something, it's the deadline. I'd be surprised if by the time the deadline passes that the Wolves haven't made some sort of deal. Doesn't,
right,
mean it's a significant franchise altering move. No, I don't think it has to be that, but I do think that if Rosas can, you know, pick up another asset, even if it's if it's some kind of protected pick or get something for, yeah, especially a guy like Teague, who is going to be expiring and you don't want to lose for nothing if you can avoid it at the end of the season. Yeah, I think all of that is on the table, and so I would be really surprised if they don't find some way to make some sort of move to get involved in this a little bit. It might take a while just because we need the market to sort of solidify a little bit more first, but they're definitely making a lot of calls and they're trying to see what is available to them, and they're not going to hesitate to pull the trigger if something comes along that they like.
All right, so let's, as we close this out, let's just look at the next five games, because I do think this is a very dire stretch for the Timberwolves. So we have Wednesday night against the Pelicans, must win.
Must win.
Do you think they win? I guess it depends on, let's say Towns plays.
If Towns plays, I think they win, okay. Yes. I mean, New Orleans played in overtime last night.
Right.
They have been atrocious. Pretty close right. to god-awful. Right. they're giving up a ton of points. So yeah, if Towns does play, yes, I think they win.
Then they go to Denver Friday night to start a four-game road trip.
Mm-hmm.
That is brutal.
Yeah, you're not winning that one.
Yeah, and then the next night in Portland,
the David Vanderpool revenge game.
Ooh,
you don't think they're going to win that?
Oh,
one?
Maybe they'll get up for that. Okay, all right, I'm into that. I'm into that. Yes, they win that one. Sure, yeah. Why not? I mean, they never beat Dame, but sure, why not? Yeah. All right, then after that, at Warriors.
Yeah, you can win that one.
You can win that.
I think if
you
if
should
you get Towns back.
Right?
Yeah, you should win that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then at Sacramento, who has been a lot better than since that 0-5 start, but they're still working guys in. So, like,
I think that's a loss.
Best case realistic scenario, 2-3, 3-2. Think, yeah. Maybe they can go 3-2.
If they went 3-2,
that's a great thing. Right?
That's huge for them. Yes, absolutely. I think, I could see 1-4. I have a hard time seeing them going 0-5 and getting to 12 straight losses.
Yeah.
I think they'll pick up at least a win in the next five. But if they could somehow find a way to kind of come together and go 3-2, I think that would steady the ship a little bit here in a much needed way.
So Amin Al-Hassan and I were on the radio this morning and we were joking about how the Phoenix Suns have kind of fallen off and they've caught the train, right? They've caught the 3-10 to lottery town. That's kind of, and by the way, the same thing happened to the Wolves after about a month and a half, where it's like, oh, that train right on time, right? Where the things fall off. And it does feel like, all right, when we're talking about this 5-game stretch and going, hey, if they can go 3-2, that's a great stretch for the Wolves, right? It feels like we're back, John.
It feels like we're back.
Yeah. Maybe not the same old Wolves, but just, the same old results.
Yeah,
Different process, but better process.
It does feel like that, yeah. And hey, then they have Cleveland and Brooklyn at home right after that. And so,
I mean, they got to beat the Cavs.
If it got to five and two, all of a sudden.
Oh.
Now we're back in playoffs. The playoff picture,
maybe you're talking close to 500 at this point now.
Yeah.
Now you maybe get aggressive, and who knows? We just saw the Bucks lose to a non-Luka Doncic team, Wolves played
the
Mavericks pretty well.
Then you get Golden State at home, and then at Cleveland and Memphis on the road, and Portland at home. I mean, we're looking at, 10-3?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, we're looking at the 5 seed quickly.
John, I think we just figured out that the Wolves are buyers at the deadline. As they make this push to challenge the Lakers and the Clippers for supremacy in the Western Conference.
We're going for Chris Paul after that. we're bringing him in.
Bring him in. Who cares about the money?
Who cares about the money?
Wolves aren't going to sign anybody anyway. With D'Angelo Russell just proved that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... put all your chips in the middle of the table after that run. That's
and anytime you can put all your chips into a $40 million point guard who's in his mid-30s, I think you got to do it, John.
No question, especially when LeBron and AD look very vulnerable at the top of the West, and Kawhi and Paul George. The West is here for the taking.
It's here for the taking, and here's the thing. You know how you take down a giant? You punch him in the nuts. You know what Chris Paul's really good at? Punching guys in the nuts.
Yep, and you keep your jersey tucked in, and Chris Paul will keep these jerseys tucked in.
Exactly. Now you don't have to worry about it. You bring the Riddler to you, right? You bring the Batman villain to you.
It's writing itself at this point.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you start on Lindale or you start on Hennepin for the parade, but I know you end up on one of those.
you 100% do end up on one of those, and I will be walking the entire way and writing an oral history.
John, I'll be right there with you. I'll be doing a live podcast. How about that?
No pants.
No pants either. No, because it's gonna be summertime, man. Ooh.
Yeah. It's gonna be gorgeous.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, John. You know how we close this out. One, we thank people for subscribing. If you're subscribing to The Athletic, thank you for that. Go ahead and leave us a review, maybe on the Apple Podcast link. maybe a 5-star review, because you know you love us. And if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, if you're listening to this on the Apple Podcasts or any of those Stitcher, Google Play, you know, any of those other podcast feeds, please give us a review if you haven't already. And by the way, maybe go subscribe to The Athletic so you get all of John's great writing. How about that?
What? You're losing money not doing it.
Yeah, you can't afford not to do it. And then it is the holiday season. You know, if you do celebrate Christmas, you know, fantastic. If not, no worries. But I think we can all get behind a ho ho howl, John. So on three, I think we go ho ho and then we howl. Okay.
I'm on it.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Ho ho, ho, ho. Ow!